Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I see what you did with your headline. I see exactly what you did with your headline here. So it's funny. I saw it on the Billings Gazette's Facebook page, but this is the Liberal Lee newspapers in their Capitol Bureau coverage. Always biased to the Democrats, always biased to the left. This was their headline. Bill that bars Montana teachers from disciplining for pronoun misuse heads to governor. Actually, it's for pronoun use, not pronoun misuse, because anyway. But you get the gist of what they were trying to do with the headline here. Let me read just an excerpt from their story. Depending on who you ask at the Montana legislature, House Bill 400 does two very different things. Some say it would enshrine free speech and let people exercise their core values. Others say it would condone bullying and overburden exhausted school teachers. Oh, yeah, sure. See, okay. This bill actually protects, I believe it's a bill by Representative Braxton Mitchell, great young man out of Columbia Falls. This bill actually protects teachers. If you go and actually read the text of House Bill 400, I've got it right in front of me right here. It actually protects teachers from being attacked by the woke mob as well. Look, bullying is already against the rules, is already against the, this has nothing to do with bullying. Actually, it has a lot to do with bullying. The woke mob wants to come in and bully kids and punish little kids for using a pronoun that for some reason they're being forced into use. Hey, we're going to force this little third grader to call a boy a girl and call a girl or a boy. And if they don't, we're going to bully that kid and we're going to punish that kid. This bill protects those kids from that woke mob bullying. But it also protects teachers. See, what the Liberal Lee newspapers and their Capitol Bureau reporting is trying to do here is they're trying to make it look like this is an anti-teacher bill, when this is a bill that actually protects teachers from being bullied by the woke pronoun mob. It protects their free speech rights. Free speech is also about protecting you from being forced to say something that you fundamentally believe you cannot and should not say, especially if it's a violation of your beliefs and your religious beliefs, your core beliefs. But see, this is exactly what you get. Here's a question I have. Did the union that's supposed to be representing teachers stand up for teachers and support Braxton Mitchell's bill? Sure wouldn't surprise me if they didn't, because remember, this woke left-wing teachers union is a part of the woke mob. In fact, when school teachers in the largest school district in the state of Montana voted in their own union meeting against being forced to wear masks, guess who slapped them in the face? Guess who bullied them? Their own union, the Montana Federation of Public Employees, which is the woke mob in Montana. So once again, the MFPE doesn't stand up for teachers. They want to slap them and you in the face.
It's April 14th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Ex-Spouse Day, and that's all we have to say about that. Also on this day, a 13-year-long task is completed in 2003. The Human Genome Project, the mapping of genes of the human genome, which started in 1990. Breaking it down, we essentially created a genetic blueprint for humans. It was a deadly day in Bangladesh in 1986. Dozens of people dying as a result of the heaviest hailstones ever recorded, with some weighing in at more than 2 pounds each. The RMS Titanic strikes an iceberg today in 1912, sinking hours later to the bottom of the North Atlantic, resulting in more than 1,500 deaths. Of course, many know the story from the movie Titanic.
Iceberg, run ahead!
And back in 1865, John Wilkes Booth shot President Abraham Lincoln, who would end up dying the next day. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Ah, come on. AOC is old news. They got to bring Jasmine Crockett to Missoula next week. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we talked about Bernie Sanders and AOC are doing a rally in Missoula, Montana next week. It's the lifestyles of the rich and socialist. We talked about that and more, including a legislative update on Thursday's show. What are we going to talk about on Freedom Friday? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk statewide. 9 to 10.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got some time for your phone calls if you want to call in right now, 406-294-0970. We should have a guest coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, and then around 8:40, we've got Ashley Smith-Thomas, founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA, talking about all the illegal aliens in the country and these far-left judges. Plus, she's going to break down what the Supreme Court actually said, not just what the legacy media is telling you the Supreme Court said, but what the Supreme Court actually said. That'll be coming up here in the second half of the 8 o'clock hour. Phone lines are open for the entire 9 o'clock hour this morning as well. Let's see. Speaking of immigration, this is interesting. Did you guys see this? There were several news outlets covering this news. The Department of Homeland Security has revoked the F-1 visas of three international students at Montana State University. This was according to a letter sent Friday from University President Waded Cruzado, which was obtained by a liberal news outlet called the Montana Free Press. And let's see, I don't know if it's in this story, but I did see that there were some international students at the University of Montana, maybe one, maybe more, that also had their student visas revoked from the Department of Homeland Security. And now, all of us are, of course, wondering, well, why? Why have they had these visas revoked? And because, of course, there could be several different reasons why. And of course, at each of these campuses, I don't have the latest numbers when it comes to the number of international students that are attending both UM and MSU. But I know the last time I checked, there were hundreds of international students at both campuses. So three losing their student visa is not a big deal. Now, the question is why they lost their student visa. That might be interesting because, I mean, look at what we've seen in the last 4 years alone. Joe Biden and John Tester and the Democrats imported 15 million plus illegal aliens in 4 years. 15 million plus. And then they've also abused even the legal immigration process or the refugee process or the asylee process to basically sneak people into this country. And in fact, the biggest story over the weekend, the Daily Caller first was to report these numbers, and now Senator Marsha Blackburn out of Kentucky is reporting these numbers as well. We're finding out that 4,300 criminals or folks that are on the terrorist watch list got government benefits like Medicaid. So you've worked your entire life to pay into these programs, and then you got to wait till pert near, as they might say on parts of the Highland. You got to wait till pert near the end of your life to get some of these benefits. But no, just walk into this country illegally or through some other, you know, what's now become a sham of a process, and you get handed all the benefits. And we wonder why our country is $36 trillion in debt. Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. All right, let's get to some callers on the phone lines here. We've got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's going on? Great to hear from you.
Thanks for taking my call, Aaron. Don't you find it curious that the governor of Pennsylvania has to be waked up by the police banging on his door when the place is on fire, plus the fact that the feller climbs a 7-foot fence, throws a hammer through the window, then the Molotov cocktails. Where's the security cameras, and where the heck is the fire alarms?
Yeah, we haven't seen anything about who this suspect is with regard to this alleged arson attack on the Pennsylvania governor's house. I mean, it could by all means be a radical leftist who doesn't like his pro-Israel stance or his semi-pro-Israel stance, right?
Well, they said that the news is reporting that he hates the governor. My goodness gracious, why would you hate the governor? And besides, I believe he's Jewish. And
yes,
with all the anti-Semitism going on, you would think he would take precautions, or precautions would be taken to protect that place. I just don't understand why he has to be 2 o'clock in the morning. He's arisen by banging on the door by the police. Where the heck are the fire alarms? Where the heck are the security cameras? I don't get it.
Well, I've got to think that they're reviewing that footage right now. I know sometimes they're slow to put that stuff out, when they're in the middle of an investigation. But yeah, I mean, remember Josh Shapiro, for those who, been hearing the national news updates and heard that there was this alleged arson attack on his house. Yeah, he's Jewish. He's the Democrat governor of Pennsylvania. And the fact that he's Jewish is why everybody believes he was not selected to be Kamala Harris's running mate last year, because the anti-Semitism is so strong within the Democrat Party right now that they couldn't pick the Jewish guy to be her running mate. They had to pick old tinsel toes tampon Tim instead.
Well, I hope the governor of our state is taking necessary precautions against anything like this. And as a matter of fact, the governors of all states should do the same thing. Make sure that they're secure in their residence. I mean, this could have been a disaster.
Well, I posted a story, speaking of surveillance footage, I posted a story on our Montana Talks website last night. There was a stolen vehicle in Billings Sunday morning, and there were two little kids in the car. So basically, law enforcement had to go find a stolen vehicle that had kids in the car. So you had a kidnapping / car thief suspect on the loose, thanks to great surveillance footage at a new place called Club Lux in Billings. They quickly found the suspect, found the car. The kids were found safe, thankfully, so a good end to that news story. But, yeah, now I know our governor is and should be well protected. He's got some incredible highway patrol troopers that travel with him. Great folks. I'll see them at the SHOT Show in Vegas or at an ag show in Montana. Good people.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You have a nest egg of cash that you want to put into something safe to earn a decent return. Should you invest in U.S. Treasury bonds backed by the largest economy in the world? Or should you buy the bonds of Greece, a country that 15 years ago flirted with bankruptcy as a result of reckless borrowing? The message to markets today is astounding because investors prefer Greece. Others have noted that the unprecedented rise in U.S. bond yields during the recent surge in stock market volatility of late, which breaks the usual pattern. Generally, when the markets go wobbly, people stash their money away in bonds, driving the prices of those bonds up and your yields down. But the roulette wheel of tariff policy appears to be sending a different message to investors. Get your money out of the U.S. altogether. It'll take months and more likely years of more stable, predictable, and clearly articulated U.S. economic policy to change this sentiment. We remain the most vibrant, dynamic, and growth-oriented economy in the developed world. But the world trusts us less than Greece. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The Pentagon firing a Greenland Space Force base commander, saying she undermined Vice President J.D. Vance during his recent visit. The vice president claiming Denmark failed to keep Greenland safe, saying it would be safer under U.S. rule. Colonel Susan Myers explaining in a statement the concerns of the U.S. administration discussed by Vice President Vance are not reflective of the base. The Pentagon responding, actions to undermine the chain of command will not be tolerated. Greenland is a territory of Denmark, a NATO ally of the U.S. President Trump has said he wants to annex it for national security purposes. Greenland's leadership has repeatedly said it's not for sale. The Space Force, which was established in 2019, is dedicated to space-related operations and national security, including helping the Department of Defense monitor and protect satellites used for GPS, weather monitoring, and television. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey, real quick before we get to our guest with our legislative update, I got a call from Sean in Kalispell. If you guys didn't hear our conversations with Dr. Al, and then we had a phone call last week as well, the Flathead Republicans have their Lincoln-Reagan dinner coming up May, the first couple of days in May, so you're going to want to check it out, flatheadrepublicans.com. Ticket prices will have to go up 1 week from today. So Sean wanted to share that quick message. And Sean, thanks for calling in. Let's sneak in another quick phone call. We've got Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Yeah, the ease it is for an illegal alien to get hospital care at local Logan Hospital. They got a system, you press a button and say, my voice is my ID. And, of course, they'll get a language interpreter for them, and it's all a la carte. It's all the best care that they can possibly get. And just it's our AI and communication to the nth degree.
Well, that's why Joe Biden and the Democrats, the numbers of Social Security numbers given to non-citizens, especially last year alone, went up like crazy, is because they want illegal aliens to come into this country, give them a Social Security number, and then hopefully that allows them to be able to vote, and then they get Medicaid, all sorts of nonsense. I mean, Doge just laid this out here in the past few days. 905. So what they pointed out is 6,300 individuals who were paroled into the United States since 2023 are on the FBI terrorist screening center watch list, or they have criminal records. 905 of them collected Medicaid. 41 got unemployment insurance. 22 got student loans. 409 got tax refunds. Anyway, the others got SNAP, food stamp benefits. I mean, that's outrageous. It was all deliberate. It was all by design. And it wasn't just Joe Biden. It was John Tester. And the reason why we got to be reminded it was John Tester is because Montanans need to know that the Montana Democrat Party was lockstep with this invasion every single step of the way. All right. Well, let's get to some good news. We've got Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, joining us for our weekly legislative update. And, of course, this segment brought to you by AFP Montana. But, Henry, I think the good news is at the national front. That one big beautiful bill, it sounds like permanent tax relief, making the Trump tax cuts permanent, is getting close to becoming a reality.
Yes, and thank you, Aaron. And that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act reauthorization is our top federal priority for this year. As you know, it does expire by the end of the year. It is a critical bill to get through. It's a critical element of the bill to get through because, as I reminded everybody, our corporate tax rate was once the highest in the industrialized civilization. We were at 35%. Trump's tax cuts bill cut it down to 22%, making us competitive, bringing corporations home where they ought to be, creating jobs and spurring our economic engine and bringing us closer towards prosperity. In addition, personal income taxes went down by 3% across nearly all the tax brackets, and our standardized deductions were nearly double for every category. So we need those tax breaks, and I'm glad to see that move forward. It's our top priority as an organization. We're spending up to $20 million nationwide in key states around the country to put pressure on federal legislators to vote yes in support of that. Fortunately, we have four here in Montana. All of them strongly support Trump's economic agenda of cutting taxes, creating jobs, and bringing prosperity back to America.
Yeah, and you guys were, of course, very influential through your AFP Action organization as well in making sure that we had two senators supporting the Trump tax cuts and not just one, because when the Trump tax cuts were first put in place, Liberal Senator John Tester voted against it. We had a Democrat governor, Steve Bullock, at the time, who said that the Trump tax cuts were going to cause basically a massive hole in the state budget. Instead, as now Representative Lou Jones pointed out, we had a Trump bump in revenues in Montana as a result of the Trump tax cuts. But John Tester would have been right there with Schumer and the rest of them trying to block these tax cuts from and we would have seen, we could have potentially seen a massive spike had the presidential race and these Senate races not gone our direction.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And we were reminded of that fact when we all gathered at Americans for Prosperity. We all gathered in Florida for our annual all staff conference, and Tim Sheehy was felt compelled to join us, zoomed in virtually, but gave a great presentation to everybody and thanked our work at AFP Action Montana for helping him get across the finish line, and he's a key vote. Now, you mentioned earlier John Tester's support for these wacky economic policies or opposition to Trump's. He's lurking there in the background, Aaron, these people just simply don't go away. They don't give up the fight. You've got Steve Daines up for re-election in 2026, and I'm sure the Democrats are just chomping at the bite to try to get in on that race. John Tester or some other prominent Democrat, so we're keeping our eyes on that, which is why we kind of always remind people that these economic policies that are driving prosperity in America, and it's being driven by our current delegation and our current administration.
Well, I even saw some speculation, because some people might say, yeah, hey, why are you even bringing up Tester's name? He lost. Yeah, but now he's doing this phony little podcast, and he went on Bill Maher's program pretending to be all moderate again, although that blew up in his face. But look, that Western congressional seat was gerrymandered by the Democrats to be a very competitive district. And so I saw somebody openly speculating that apparently some Democrats are trying to get Tester to run in the Western congressional district. And so that's why people need to be reminded, and also remember, it's not just John Tester. It's the Montana Democrat Party. They've been in on this open borders agenda since day one. That's why they got their the oligarchy rally, with Bernie Sanders and AOC in Missoula. I think that's, when's that coming up? I think that's later this week, maybe Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
It's coming up soon. Austin says, I hope they get a righteous Montana welcome. Having those people represent the leadership of the opposition party is probably a good thing for Montanans to see, because we are not even centrist or left-leaning Democrats are in alignment with their agenda. So it'll backfire on them, and it's a really ridiculous move. And now you see these huge rallies around the U.S. Run by Indivisible. I do believe they have links to far-left sources of funding. It's not the bottom-up grassroots organic Tea Party movement of 2009. This is all carefully constructed, carefully orchestrated, with lots of message discipline to try to position themselves as moderates and centrists, but take it from us. They are funded by the far left. Speaking of rallies, there's April 15th is coming up. What a great reminder for Americans that we got to get this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act through as we go to file and pay for our federal income taxes. A great day to do that, and I'm sure that you'll see activity around the state from AFP Montana. We'll be out there. We'll be promoting our Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and we'll be talking it up because we need a break.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's almost too bad that Bernie Sanders and AOC aren't going to be in Missoula tomorrow instead of Wednesday, because really tomorrow, I forgot tomorrow is tax day. Luckily, I got an accountant to just figure that stuff out, because it's just it's one of the best things you can do is just, trust stuff like that with the experts. But yeah, they should be those rich socialists. The lifestyles of the rich and socialists, they should be rallying in Missoula for tax day. And they should be celebrating the fact that the left-wing Missoula City Council and Missoula County government raised their taxes a combined 20% just, a year or so ago. That's what happens. Meanwhile, what's going on back at the Montana State Capitol? They're about out of time. They got a lot of stuff to do still.
They got a lot of stuff to do. This has been a very difficult session all around. Just too much divisiveness. I don't know if I reported that our tax cut bill that we got behind. Now we have we're in a position where we are able to get behind the best tax policy. So we aligned ourselves with the governor's bill SB 323, which I mentioned last time on the air. Would have brought down our taxes down to 4.9% over 2 years, close to a flat tax, which is the most equitable and fair tax system that we can come up with, short of a sales tax or consumption tax. We believe the flat tax is second best to that, but unfortunately, it got tabled in committee, and the last motion on the floor to get it out of committee, which would require a majority vote, also failed. So you've got a tax reform package put out by Mike Yakovich, which lowers it for around 60% of Montanans, the lower and middle class. Unfortunately, it's not across the board. You've got a bill on the House side, Speaker Lehr's bill, HB 337, which will lower it down to 5.4% and a little bit lower for other brackets. But we provide some support for that bill, although it's not a flat tax, it's the better of the two bills. We'll see which one actually does prevail, and see what happens if they both get to the finish line, how they're going to, work together to make it into one. We got the TIF bill, Tax Income and Financing Reform Bill, coming through for second reading today in the House. That's Greg Hertz's bill that will reform this corporate cronyist system that has been developed around all the major cities around Montana, where if you want to freeze property taxes in order to help support cronyist policies, you create a TIF district, which is meant only for blighted areas.
Very interesting.
Blighted means rubble.
So this will bring some reforms, put some sideboards in place on those TIF districts. Very, and I'm totally with you, Henry, on across-the-board income tax relief. I hope they can get back to something more like the governor's proposal. All right, thanks for
morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I just laugh every time I hear Bernie Sanders' voice. He's like a Muppet. It's like the Muppets. It's like the old guys up in the balcony. I think maybe Tim and Billings made that reference. Was
we do not want a government of the billionaire class, by the billionaire class, for the billionaire class. We want a government that represents all of us, not just the 1%.
Says the guy. How many mansions does Bernie Sanders have? Oh, yeah, a bunch of rich people complaining about rich people. Hey, we got news for you, Bernie. You've lost the working class. Brad Todd was on CNN and Rapid Response 47. They were talking about this new CBS poll focused on working class Americans. And the working class Americans are backing President Donald J. Trump because they know that he backs them. And Bernie and AOC, the oligarchs, you're both a couple of rich people. How did AOC go from being a bartender to now being worth millions? How does that happen, right? And is she going to drive her Tesla to Missoula on Wednesday? Because we're pretty sure we have the tail number for Bernie Sanders' private jet that he's going to fly to town on. Oh, but complain about the rich people. They pinned a medal on, they put a medal around George Soros' neck. Hans Wiese, another one of their foreign financier billionaires who funds the American Prairie Reserve to kick the ranchers, that they love their rich leftists. They just don't want you to have more of your money. That's why they're opposing the Trump tax cuts. They have no problem with other countries tariffing us now. Apparently Bernie Sanders at once upon a time did, but now he doesn't anymore. Just like Elizabeth Warren, she used to want to put tariffs in place against other countries, but now she doesn't anymore because of her hatred for Donald J. Trump. This is Brad Todd on CNN talking about this CBS poll.
Later this week, you saw a lot more clarity heading into the goal, which is get tough on China, be open to negotiate with other countries. If President Trump will sell this as a fairness issue, Americans are going to be with him. That CBS poll indicates a majority support his goals on this. Germany shouldn't be taxing our cars at 100% when we tax theirs at a quarter of that. Mm-hmm. Is a basic level of fairness. You know, and Democrats, for their part, this is a big chance for them. Like Elizabeth Warren, who you had on the show earlier, she's been for tariffs her whole life, but she hates Donald Trump more than she likes the things she believes in. It's a big chance. Joe Biden added tariffs to electric vehicles and solar panels and steel and aluminum. Democrats need to work with Donald Trump to crack down on China.
Now, meanwhile, on MSNBC, Sean Fain, the United Auto Workers Union president, he got in a little bit of a back and forth with the liberal Democrats there who do not like the fact that he likes what President Trump is doing.
We've been very clear. We do believe that, and we know when it comes to auto, when it comes to heavy truck and agricultural implement, we know that tariffs will influence these companies to do the right thing and reinvest in this country and reinvest in factories in this country. You know, it's interesting, you know, Stellantis, as Trump was announcing the tariff, you know, announced at the same moment that they were going to lay off 800 people. That didn't change as Trump was making an announcement. You know, to me, it's just trying to bait people. At the end of the day, we believe that Stellantis and these companies will bring work back.
All right, there you go. That was Sean Fain on MSNBC. Let's jump back into the phone lines. We're still awaiting our phone call from our guest here. And thanks to Fox News Radio, since we are a Fox affiliate here on our flagship station, we're able to get some great guests on the show from time to time through our friends at Fox News Radio. Guest is not on the line yet. Another interview may be going long with another station somewhere else across the country. So let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Willie in Paradise Valley. Willie, what's going on?
Yeah, I just got on listen to you, Aaron, but and maybe you mentioned it, but I thought it'd get your blood boiling the way they're propping up old John Flip Flop about running for governor and all kinds of stuff. And they had some special on him, I guess, on the Billings News yesterday at 10 o'clock. I didn't stay up to watch it, but it's interesting how they're bringing Tester out from whatever to do whatever, and it's just kind of comical, I think.
Yeah, what big rock did you crawl out from underneath, right? Yeah. No, I saw that. I think Kat out in eastern Montana was tweeting about, you know, the Scripps TV stations doing some big puff piece on John Tester having some podcast. What it tells me is John Tester must be desperate to get more subscribers to his podcast, so they had to beg the liberal Scripps TV stations to do a story about it. Those TV stations, unfortunately, now that they're owned by Scripps, they're just a far-left propaganda outfit. They were groveling over John Tester for the entire 2024 election. And apparently, even after they lost and he lost so big last November, they keep groveling over him. All right, what's going on with the courts and the illegal aliens and the deportation efforts? Ashley Smith-Thomas, founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing is, what is the Supreme Court actually saying versus what the legacy media is saying they said? Because one case in particular, and I get a kick out of this guy's name, I thought Stephen Miller was joking when he called him Kilmar Garcia, but his name is actually Kilmar.
Yes, it is. So it's Kilmar Abrego Garcia. So he's 29 years old. He was deported to the El Salvadorian mega prison last month for being an alleged MS-13 gang member. And this all started because supposedly his attorneys have maintained that he does not have any gang ties, that he is not a member of the MS-13. But when you look at what the Supreme Court said on Thursday, they upheld the lower court's decision to facilitate the return of Garcia. And, you know, the U.S. District Judge Paula Zenith, she ordered federal officials to coordinate his return back to Maryland in a Monday order last week, calling his deportation wholly unlawful. And the reason why the Supreme Court got involved and the reason why the U.S. District Judge is calling this wholly unlawful is because in 2019, he had applied for asylum, in which an immigration judge denied his asylum request. However, he was granted deportation protection that he would not return to El Salvador because he's originally from El Salvador. He would not return to El Salvador out of fear of persecution because he entered the U.S. illegally in 2011 when he was 16 years old. His family had a business there in El Salvador. Gangs were trying to extort from the family. They targeted him and his brother, so they sent both he and his brother to the U.S. His brother is now a U.S. citizen, and they're in Maryland. So the story just starts getting more and more interesting as this unfolds. So therefore, the Supreme Court upheld the district judge's request to facilitate his return. But what is very interesting, and I think that SCOTUS had outlined here, is that they used the word facilitate. They ordered the government to facilitate his release from custody in El Salvador. But originally, the U.S. District Court or District Judge used the word effectuate, which means make it happen. So the Supreme Court pushed back on Judge Zenas just asking for her to explain her term effectuate because that is now stepping into the executive branch, which is outside her scope. So they are wanting for the administration to facilitate his return and provide an update in how they're trying to get him back and what more they could potentially do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the days to come.
Yeah, because this guy is alleged to be a member of MS-13, according to local law enforcement back in Maryland and from federal law enforcement as well. And he is an illegal alien from El Salvador at the end of the day. But basically, I think I saw, who was it? Was it Scott Jennings and others? They were talking about this case, and they were making the point that, like, yeah, he's claiming that he would be persecuted because of a rival gang back in El Salvador. Yeah, so okay, just because you're a gang banger who feels like you're going to be persecuted from a rival gang, well, that isn't reason to keep a gang banger in the United States of America, right? And so I know there's, and I also, I could have sworn I saw that there was some question from the Supreme Court's decision about, okay, maybe they can't keep him in the Salvadorian prison, but he needs to be released from there. But I guess that's what we'll see in the days ahead.
Absolutely. So the bottom line is that when he was granted deportation protection back in 2019, that means that he cannot go to El Salvador, but where he could be deported to, you know, who knows what that country, you know, could be, who would take him. But right now, the Supreme Court is requesting the government to facilitate his return to the U.S. Over the weekend, the State Department had confirmed that he is alive and it's secure. They're at the facility. They're in El Salvador. And so what's going to be interesting is that the administration is now saying that this is up to the El Salvadorian government for his release. But here's the question that I have.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. Ashley Smith-Thomas, if you can, I got to hit the hard break here. But I'll chat with you during the break. If you can stick around for after the break, we'll keep you on. If not, I'll chat with you real quick. Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Trump's tariffs have already doubled the revenue taken in by the Customs Bureau. Uncle Sam collected an extra billion dollars in custom duties last month. You know, every little bit helps. The U.S. Currently relies on China, believe it or not, to produce 90% of generic antibiotics used by Americans. This is insane. We've got to bring pharmaceutical manufacturing back to this country. God forbid this COVID 2.0, and I've been saying this, and we can't have, in a world that's now racing towards artificial intelligence and the need for semiconductor chips, we got to get to this, you know, we got to get to the bottom of being independent on vital industries immediately. And we got to move fast.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day, maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy. and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. 7 years in jail. That's how much time federal prosecutors are seeking for disgraced and expelled former New York GOP Representative George Santos. He pleaded guilty to federal fraud and identity theft charges. The U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York argued that a significant sentence was warranted because the New York Republicans' quote, unparalleled crimes had made a mockery of the country's election system. The prosecutors argued that Santos created what they termed a quote, wholly fictitious biography. They accused him of what they called a voracious appetite for fame and said it enabled him to exploit the very system by which we select our representatives. Attorneys for Santos dismissed the seven-year proposal as quote, absurd and unfounded. They said it quote, appears designed to beat up on a man that already took full responsibility for his actions. Counsel for Santos rejected the notion that he will fall back into criminal behavior, noting he has no prior criminal record. They argued instead for a 2-year prison term, which is the mandatory minimum sentence for aggravated identity theft. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. We'll have the phone lines open for the full 9 o'clock hour today as well, unless there was something on the schedule I haven't seen yet. Nope, not seeing anything scheduled at least, but hey, Semper Gumby, always flexible. We're not some canned stock, read the script type of show around here. So that's why we can be so flexible. And we want to hear from you. Okay, so Ashley Smith Thomas, thankful for her joining us on the show here this morning. So she said she had one question, and we were just about to get cut off by the break. So I chatted with her during the break, and her one question was, okay, if this guy is and was or was MS-13, then why did a judge protect him from deportation previously? And which is a good question, right? And of course, my knee-jerk reaction to that is, well, we've got liberal judges that have protected all sorts of criminals in this country, but they'll throw the book at the American citizens. We've got all sorts of judges that have facilitated and allowed this invasion of our homeland to occur. 15 million plus into this country, and now they want to slow walk their exfil. Stephen Miller summed it up so well over the weekend with this post on X. Biden imported 15 million plus illegals in 4 years. Democrats believe each alien should get a lengthy federal trial before being sent back. After we scour the country to find them, because they are all evading arrest. A typical trial would take months to complete, not counting appeals. This would mean even if we shut down our entire federal court system to do nothing else, the process that the Democrats demand would take multiple centuries to complete, which Democrats understand because they don't want any aliens removed. They want them all registered to vote. The judicial process is for Americans. Immediate deportation is for illegal aliens. If you break into someone's house, you don't get to spend months or years debating your presence. Trespassers must go, and they must go now. But this is exactly what the Democrats and the liberals in the media and the liberals in the judicial system wanted to do. Hey, guys, come on in, come on in. They're waving people in by the millions. Terror watch list, criminals, 50,000 Chinese over a 2-year period alone. Come on in, come on in. A mad rush across our borders. Well, they mocked our troops.
And then now they're saying, whoa, you can't just kick these guys out of here. Whoa. Boy, they will close the gates real fast when you try to kick the folks out of the country, but they flung them wide open to allow them in. And that's exactly, this is exactly going according to their plan right now. By the way, earlier I mentioned how Homeland Security has revoked student visas for some, just three students at Montana State University. And I thought this story included the UM numbers as well, but I know that at least one, maybe more student visas have been revoked at the University of Montana as well. And we don't know why. They're citing student privacy concerns for why they aren't telling us how, the reason Homeland Security revoked these student visas. But let's just say there's a very interesting story at thedailywire.com right now. Money and migration. How radical Islam gained a foothold on Western campuses. That's at thedailywire.com. We got about 30 seconds to go. Let's give the final 30 seconds to Tom in the Gallatin Valley. Tom, what do you want to share?
Good morning. Honored that illegal invasion, I guess. I can not one single reason why Biden and Kamala, Democrats or whatever, there's only one reason that you do or happen and facilitate it was for, they were hoping they would be able to sign them up to vote.
Yeah.
There's no, and then you hear something.
They wanted more voters. And they kind of want to transform America into something else, too.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you have a nest egg of cash that you want to put into something safe to earn a decent return, should you invest in U.S. Treasury bonds backed by the largest economy in the world? Or should you buy the bonds of Greece, a country that 15 years ago flirted with bankruptcy as a result of reckless borrowing? The message of markets today is astounding because investors prefer Greece. Others have noted that the unprecedented rise in U.S. bond yields during the recent surge in stock market volatility of late, which breaks the usual pattern. Generally, when the markets go wobbly, people stash their money away in bonds, driving the prices of those bonds up and your yields down. But the roulette wheel of tariff policy appears to be sending a different message to investors. Get your money out of the U.S. altogether. It'll take months and more likely years of more stable, predictable, and clearly articulated U.S. economic policy to change the sentiment. We remain the most vibrant, dynamic, and growth-oriented economy in the developed world. But the world trusts us less than Greece. I'm Patrick Bakke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.